Look. It is winter in Prague. Night is rising in the mother of cities and over her thousand spires. Look down at the darkness around your feet, in all the lanes and alleys, as if it were a soft black dust swept there by a broom. Look at the stone apostles on the old Charles Bridge, and at all the blue-eyed jackdaws on the shoulders of St. John of Nepomuk. Look! She is coming over the bridge. Head bent down to the whitening cobblestones. Helen Franklin, 42, neither short nor tall, her hair neither dark nor fair. On her feet, boots which serve from November to March, and her mother's steel watch on her wrist. A table salt glitter of hard snow falling on her sleeve, her shoulder, her neat coat belted, as colourless as she is, 9 years worn. Across her breast a narrow satchel strap. In the satchel, her afternoon's work. Instructions for the operation of a washing machine translated from German into English, and a green uneaten apple. What might commend so drab a creature to your sight, when overhead the low clouds split, and the upturned bowl of a silver moon pours milk out on the river? Nothing at all. Nothing, that is, but this. These hours, these long minutes of this short day, must be the last when she knows nothing of Melmoth. When thunder is just thunder, and a shadow only darkness on the wall. If you could tell her now, step forward, take her wrist, and whisper. Perhaps she'd pause, turn pale, and in confusion fix her eyes on yours. Perhaps look at the lamplit castle high above the Vltava and down at white swans sleeping on the riverbank. Then turn on her half-inch heel and beat back through the coming crowd. But, oh, it's no use. She'd only smile. Impassive, half amused, this is her way, shake you off and go on walking home. Helen Franklin pauses where the bridge meets the embankment. Trams rattle on up to the National Theatre, where down in the pit the oboists suck their reeds, and the first violin taps her bow 3 times against the music stand. It's 2 weeks past Christmas. But the mechanical tree in the old town square turns and turns and plays one final pleasing strain of Strauss. And women from Hove and Hartlepool clasp paper cups of steaming wine. Down Karlovy Lane comes the scent of ham and wood smoke, of sugar-studded dough burnt over coals. An owl on a gloved wrist may be addressed with the deference due to its feathers, then gingerly held for a handful of coins. It is all a stage set, contrived by ropes and pulleys. It is pleasant enough for an evening's self-deceit, but no more. Helen is not deceived, nor has she ever been. The pleasures of Bohemia are not for her. She has never stood and watched the chiming of the astronomical clock, whose maker was blinded by pins before he could shame the city by building a better device elsewhere. Has never exchanged her money for a set of nesting dolls in the scarlet strip of an English football team. Does not sit idly overlooking the Vltava at dusk. Guilty of a crime for which she fears no proper recompense can ever be made. She is in exile, and willingly serves her full life term, having been her own jury and judge.